Blog Talk Radio. evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is February the 22nd, year of our Lord 2022, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are worshiping virtually only at this time. We direct you to our Facebook page. You can go there. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. There you will find all the information concerning First Baptist of Holly Springs. There you will find our Sunday morning service. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Facebook Live. On the Facebook page, you'll also find the link for the Bible study each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. There's also a call-in number for the Bible study. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of the Bible study. So go to the Facebook page. There you will find all of the sermons that we have preached this year and all of the Bible studies. All of those Bible studies and sermons are archived. That means that you can go back at any time and hear whatever Bible study you would like to hear. Also, you'll find information about the General Baptist State Convention and the Wake Baptist Association. So we direct you to the Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of the God. You can come by the church each Sunday or every Sunday between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to make sure that your contributions are accounted. You can mail your contributions or your tithes into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. We also have a Cash App. You can use a Cash App and you can give to First Baptist. The Cash App starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We thank God for all of you who are on the line, those of you who are listening over the internet, those of you who will hear this Bible study or this topical discussion tonight long after it has been recorded. We certainly pray that you will continue to support the house of God as we continue with this work. We want to remind you that on the second Sunday in March, we will be celebrating Family and Friends Day. That's the second Sunday in March. It is a virtual celebration. However, we want to make sure that all of the family captains, and you know who you are, that you would contact the program chairman, Minister Earl McCullough, so that you will know what's going on as far as Family and Friends Day. Nothing has changed, but we want to make sure that every family is accounted during this celebration and great time at First Baptist. Let us remember to pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who have lost loved ones. We send our love and our sympathy to Brother Jonah and the Jonah family, also to the Ward family as well. We thank God for the present time that they were with us, but God knows best. So let us keep in mind those who have lost loved ones, those who find themselves just lost. There are a lot of people who are going through right now, beloved, but I assure you that God is still in control. God has a plan for you. If you keep your hands in God's hands, he will make a way out of no way. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you this night. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet. There may be those who will hear this broadcast long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that it be seed sown in good soil. long after this program is over, it will produce fruit. We thank you, God, for the night. We thank you, God, for all that you are doing for us right now. We thank you, God, for your blessings that have been showered upon us. We pray, O Lord, that we be made worthy to receive those blessings, that we know the power of your salvation, and that we tell someone about your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us strength in our weakest hour, O Lord. Bless those bereaved families. Bless those sick families. Bless those families that are just simply going through. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Those of you who are familiar with the Bible Study Power Hour, of course you know that there are times when we pause from our scriptural study and we have a topical discussion. I opened the lines kind of early on the topical discussions because it gives the opportunity for you to speak, those of you who are on the line. I have about 10 people on the line right now, and about 20 of you are on internet listening. But I'm going to open the lines in just a few minutes because I want to hear what you have to say. Now, I got about 3 or 4 stars. I want to talk about 3 or 4 things briefly. Then I'm going to take a brief break, and then I'm going to open the lines because I want everyone to have an opportunity to speak on one of these 3 or 4 topics, or either you may have a topic that you may want to speak on. But this is a topical discussion. We have paused from our scriptorial study to do topical discussions. We do this every now and then because I think it's important that we talk about the things that are pertinent to the church and to the community as well. This being February, Black History Month, I want to go into some Black history stuff. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about things that are particularly of interest to the Black church and to the Black family as a whole. One of the things that I wanted to bring to the forefront tonight is the question of the involvement from the Black church and how it can increase those who are voted in, those who are part of the electorate that we bring forth. See, even with all the shifts in faith landscape over the past several years, African Americans remain more religious than any other group and more likely than the average American to stay in traditional raised in religions. This comes from an article from Christianity Today, dated February the 15th, 2022. Black people are growing, with 3 in 10 adults in the United States claiming no religious affiliation. On survey, the rise of Black folk have touched the very corner of American society. Over more than a decade, the share of African Americans who say that they have no religious affiliation has decreased dramatically than whites, Hispanics, and Asians. But looking beyond that statistic, we see a much more nuanced view of Black religion in the United States. In 2008, 22% of all African Americans who participated in the cooperative election study indicated that they were those who voted as well. They were those who understood their duty as a Christian to not only to the church, but to the community. I want to know today, and one of the discussions I want to talk about today, what about the church when it comes down to its civic responsibility to the community? The Black church is increasing, believe it or not. It's growing at a very slow pace. Only 15% since 2008, but it is increasing. So what is the connection between the Black church and its civic responsibility to the community? Is it to educate their congregation about the various people that are up for election? Is it to get out and vote, those get out to vote rallies that we do? Certainly it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. There's got to be some other things that the church can get involved in that brings a better understanding of how it is that the church interacts with the community on a civic level. There is a book called All Knowns Are Not Created Equal, about how different groups of people are based on a number of demographic factors, how these group of people believe and how they use their civic beliefs to move forward or to stand still. If one would like to look at that, you can find that book. It's called All Knowns Are Not Created Equal. Then the second point that I want to bring up tonight, and you may want to speak on this. This comes from the Washington Post, dated yesterday, February 21st, 2022. The Black church has been a vital facet of Black life in the United States since the beginning of African-American history. In many ways, it has responded to the continuous racism this country practices, producing many prominent activists like Martin Luther King. Yet it is often overlooked by policymakers and activists who fail to recognize the potential for collaborative social justice activism. A huge part of the Black church's clergy are activists. In the modern-day Black church, that started in 1794 when Bishop Richard Allen, along with a few Christians, protested the segregation of Black members in Philadelphia's white Methodist church. In rebellion, they formed the first African Methodist Episcopal Church. By the early 1800s, establishing Black churches and schools was a priority for African American communities. Why aren't churches establishing schools today? Black churches enable African Americans to rely less on white institutions while also providing a base for activists challenging racism and inequality. Why hasn't the church spoke up on more inequality in the country and racism in the country? Sure, you find pockets here and there, or preachers or someone who would speak here and there, but mostly we wait for the national leaders, those whose names that we know, speak out on that. But in the community, in the state, in that region, the Black church has always been the institution that provided a base for activism. It provided a base to challenge inequality in the community. The multifaceted role of Black churches continued throughout the 19th century, the 1900s, until the 20th century, with churches teaching social and political engagement along with religious principles. These churches cultivated Black leadership on both sides of the pulpit. Ministers became representatives of communities, church members organized against social injustice. You see, this is something that the Black church did a long time ago. We were known for being activists. Why hasn't the church become that active today? Now, it only happens on a large scale when it's a nationwide thing. I direct you to a book that was written by Dr. James Cone, a book called A Black Theology of Liberation. This book has inspired many theologians and people in general to see and understand that religion has to be something that builds up a people. It can't just simply be something for your soul. It has to heal the whole person. The soul, the body, and the mind. And we must understand today that we only use religion to try to heal the soul. You still haven't healed the whole man. You still haven't healed the whole woman. And religion today must be that healing place for man and woman. Body, soul, and mind. That part of it is part of the Great Commission that God has asked us to do. And then, thirdly, this is Black History Month. Why is studying Black history so important? Why is it so important for us to teach our children Black history? Will critical race theory ever be taught in public schools? If so, do you think they should or should not? If so, why? Do you think that the true history of America will ever be told? If so, why not or why? And then fourthly, I want to ask you, what about some people that you know or some people who have been in your life that should be mentioned during Black History Month? There are people that we have come in contact with. There are people that we know personally. There are people who have gone on to be with the Lord, and they are part of the story of your life. They are part of the story that enriched you and your life. Who are some of those people? Who are some of the people that influenced you? Who are some of the people that were in your community or a part of your group or part of your organization that influenced you? There are many names. There are many of us who can call out names. And tonight, I just want to use that as well as a starter for our conversation. Now, I'm going to open the lines because I know that those of you who are on the line, I know you got something to say about one of these things that I've brought up tonight. I know that there's something, and like I said before, if it's something that I did not speak on, if it's something that you want to talk about, if it's something that I have missed, maybe you want to talk about the recent verdict with this policing, with the young police officer who was given basically a slap on the wrist for killing that young man. Maybe you want to talk about that. We're going to open the mic because I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear from you tonight. This is a topical discussion, but you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the on till victory is won.
All right, we're going to open the lines tonight. We have several topics that we could talk about. If you want to talk about any one of those topics, you can talk about that. If there's something else on your mind, you can talk about that as well. We have an open discussion tonight. This is a topical discussion. I just threw out three or four things to start us off. But if you have some things that you would like to talk about, that's good as well. Now, you know how we do this. I will call your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Area code 919-5257. Are you on the line?
Yes. Reverend Rogers, this is Brother Jonah.
How are you tonight, Brother Jonah?
I'm fine, enjoying the Bible study lesson. I just would like to say that as a race of people, we seem to have lost our way. And I think the reason we have lost our way is because in the old days, change emanated in the community, particularly in the church, and people told us what we needed to know. But recently, I don't know whether it's because churches began to get grants from government, we seem to be taking our information, our lead, our cue from the wrong people. We need to let blacks tell us what we need to do. Now, I listened to a young lady in New York. She was a New York attorney this week, and I just happened to walk through the house, and she was talking. I stopped in my tracks, and I didn't move until she finished talking. And one of the things she said that really emanated with me is she said, we are God's children, and only God can tell us what to do. Only God can guide us. So that's what I would like to say is we have to get back to that, and we have to follow the right people. And I think a lot of times the things that we stand for don't necessarily benefit us as a race of people.
That's fine. Thank you so very much. We've got plenty of time. I'm going to come back to you because I have something else I would like to speak on. Thank you so very much for that, Brother Jonah. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir, Real Rock. This is Mangum.
Good evening, Ms.
Mangum. Good evening. I'm just thinking. I really don't have anything to say right now, except for why we should study, why studying Black history is important. I think you asked, you know, that question, you know, on that, you know, because Black history is America history, and it should be taught like year round, not just the month of February, but Black History Month. We mentioned of all the Black history people back, but it should be taught year round.
I agree with you, Sister Magma. Let me ask you a question. How do we make that change in the school system? How do you think we can make that kind of change in the school system?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but it's hard to make that change in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Brother John, go right ahead.
I'm trying to hear about Ms. Mangum a little bit. I think we make that change by insisting on teaching our children biblical knowledge. So many of our children now growing up without a knowledge of religion, without a knowledge of what the Bible stands for, and the Bible is our roadmap for life. And if we don't get it, we go astray. And if we got it, then if we do go astray, we can get back on the right path. And we got to start somehow teaching our children that, even if we have to try and get it in school. And I know you can't teach religion in school, but maybe if we push hard enough, we can make changes, because changes need to come. It's not working out now.
Amen. And it's interesting that school started teaching religion. That's how school started, from the Bible. You know, it's interesting that you can't teach religion in a place where religion was taught first, you know. But anyway, that's a good point. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor, how are you doing? This is Deacon Fo.
Good here. How you doing, Deacon?
Doing good. I can't complain. I just wanted to go back. It's not so just kind of not trying to change the subject, but something was why the Black church has lost momentum. I think it's growing at a slow pace, but we have lost momentum as far as civil rights activity, because one, in the 60s, for instance, I wasn't born in the 60s, but the way I see it was you had an active threat always in front of you. You had dogs being sicked on you. You had fire hydrants being turned on you. You had colored signs everywhere. People became, I think, we became just unraveled, and we were looking for these leaders. And these black churches, the leaders were coming out of the black church. Martin Luther King, for instance, a preacher, biblical background, quoted many times about Moses and the Promised Land, quote, you know, and other great civil leaders like Gandhi, for example. But when that threat is no longer being, and it's still there, it's just not as visible and evident as it was back in the 60s. And I think people have become comfortable in the fact that we have certain luxuries now, and that we're kind of living high on the hog, but we haven't touched the spine of the hog just yet. And we get comfortable, and we're not as active, because there is brutality, but not like it was in the 60s, when you might get clubbed in the head for anything. But even I say this, when I say we got comfortable, when we became, it was a godsend to have Obama as a president, but I think people, when he became president, people rested on his laurels and said that we have arrived. And the fight has just begun. But going back to the black church, the black church was the pillar of getting things done, of organizing rallies, of organizing sit in the town hall and stuff like that. That was the organization we had. That was the only place we could meet. But now I think just within our black church, we have become comfortable. And that's just my take on it. And I just try to understand why we don't have, I mean, the black leaders we have now, I mean, you know, Jesse Jackson, the Al Sharpton, they're getting up in age. You don't see those people getting replaced as readily as they were in the 60s. There was always somebody making a stand in the 60s. But you don't see folks making a stand because people are comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor Rogers, I'm on the line. This is Sherry in Chesapeake. Thank you.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing fine.
Great. I just wanted to touch on the critical race theory just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe myself personally that it is something that should be taught in the schools. If we can sit back and learn about Christopher Columbus and how America got started, then I believe that it should also be introduced in racism, and I think critical race theory is mostly about racism and the law, you know, how even in the law we are treated, or by law we are treated so horribly, you know, it's such a double standard for us as black than it is for the white. So I think it's something that should be taught, because a lot of the, what it looks like to me, and I could be wrong, but a lot of the young whites that are racist are just going off of what they were told or what they've been taught in their homes, instead of really learning about what happened, you know, back in slavery times, or even coming forward to today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would help all students, you know, all the way around to mm-hmm. recognize and realize, you know, what's going on in the world and has gone on in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that answer because a lot of us feel the same way. But I'm going to come back to you with a question if I have time in just a minute. Area code 919, last four digits, 2534. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers. This is Deacon Taylor.
How you doing, Deacon Taylor?
I'm doing real good, doing real good. Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. You gave out a lot of questions here, but I'm gonna try to touch on a little bit of all of them there real quick.
All right.
Thank you for the open floor, the opportunity for not just one person, but several person and different sides to discuss this. Mm-hmm. Yes, the black church, the black church, the black family has the numbers might have dwindled, but the activism has definitely dwindled. Sure, the black church has fostered and nurtured and raised up a lot of activists, but they tend to just, you know, rant and rage and get educated on what we want to know or what is particularly touching us or our area, and we don't do a lot more information or a lot more research or going out exploring other things that could eventually get back to us. We just touch the top or the surface of a lot of things, and that has hurt the black community. And then you know you got some, they're either very radical or the very pacified. So we have a lot of that in our community more now than ever before. And we, you know, a lot of people just want to go right down the middle of the road, kind of stay in a lane, and you know that thing just comes all the way back from slavery. You know, as long as we stay in our lane, you know, it's going to be all right. We don't have to do nothing else. And that has hurt us for a long time, even up to right now. We would see a bigger difference if the black churches if we had our own schools or there was more of a community school that was church and based from the church and gave a lot of more information of the real history. And as far as us ever seeing that all of the real history is going to be in public schools, I really can't say if that's going to happen because it's been masked for all this long time. My wife is recovering, and I had a lot of time to sit back and look at all them movies doing black history that made me mad all over again. Rosewood, Malcolm X, Ghosts of Mississippi. Oh my goodness! And I fall for it every year. I get mad every year. But I'm glad our people have come a long ways, and there's been many of us who didn't sit down and didn't ride in the middle of the road and you know protested and raise a flag, you know, when something was going wrong. I'm 50 years old, but I do feel like I am in one of the last few, or maybe part of my generation is the last generation to have raised by a village, because I could name several heroes in my life that you know didn't make the front page or history books, or my grandmother. She has, for one, my father's mother had a sixth grade education and had about 11 children, but there's not a math problem you could figure out before her. That just always blew my mind. And she could take nothing and make something. And she always gave something to everybody, and she didn't have nothing. But Mr. George Clark, he had his own dry cleaning business way back in the day, and he had a van that he went around to your house and dropped the stuff off. That, you know, that as far as entrepreneurship, I remember that. I mean, then in the summertime, he had a big garden, and he was selling watermelons and everything in his garden year round. And he was a pretty prominent person in the community, but he laid real low. He wasn't a bragging type person. He did what he did. He did what he did to survive for his family. But you know, they made pretty good, and he left his family pretty good. But the list could just go on and on and on and on. But I just try to cover a little bit of everything that was said. But I would like to add one more thing. President Biden sent 18,000 18,000 men from Fort Bragg, paratroopers, the guys that jump on the planes. They could have sent 18,000 men to stand on the front line. Those guys jumped behind the front line. So when you send those guys who are just trained for war, we got to pay a little more attention and brace ourselves for what is to come, because Putin, he likes to play games, and he's got China with him. They might be playing some games, but this is a praying time. This ain't a game time. Thank you.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Area code 910, last four digits 5088. Deaconess Rainey, how are you?
Fine, you?
Good.
Good. I'm enjoying the topical discussion tonight. I do want to talk about, number four, the people that you have came in contact with. I got a list. I'm just going to call out two. I have an aunt that was in the Apex area, Apex, Holly Springs, Pauline Blunt. She was a helper. She helped pick up people, take them to the doctor, stuff like that, shopping for them and stuff like that. And I think she sort of, to me, made history as far as helping people. And then I have we called her Aunt Cecilene whenever we were growing up. She had a candy store in the neighborhood. Ooh. And, when you're a child, the candy bars are gigantic.
Amen.
And we didn't have
work.
To go downtown. Yeah. We could just go to the store. And she ran a business right there right in the Irwin town that we were growing up in. And I remembered her. She made history, to me, growing up. And then I do want to add something about the, and it was many, many more people. I'm just named out those two. And one more thing about establishing schools, about Black history in schools. Whenever I went through high school, it was the late 70s, early 80s, and we did have Black history. We could take Black history in high school, but it was like an elective. We didn't have it to graduate. But soon after that, it did phase out because they did have one Black history class whenever I went through. And that's something that I wish they would bring back, for the young children today.
Amen.
It's been gone for a long time.
I agree with you. And I remember those Baby Ruths. I used to love Baby Ruth. They didn't cost but a nickel.
Yep.
They were huge, too.
Exactly.
They were huge. Brother Jordan.
And they'd be the giant size.
I know. They were good, too. Brother Jordan, give us some people that did not make the headlines for Black history, but those people that you knew of, came in contact with.
Well, the first one, I'm like Deacon Taylor, the first one I would start with was my daddy. And he didn't get out of the first grade. But everything that I made a decision on that was important to me in life, he told me. The first thing he said to me growing up was, now, when you talk to a man, you don't want that man to be using profanity talking to you. Always keep that in mind. You talk to a man the way you want him to talk to you.
That's right.
And I tried to do that. And then the second thing he told me, I went out and tried to do things that were difficult. He told me, he says, look, when you get out in life and you get a job, he said, always remember, anything you see anybody else do, you can do it too. Mm-hmm. It may not, you may not be good at it when you start, but if you keep working at it, then you're going to get better. And that applies to everybody anywhere. If you keep that in mind, you will always make progress up the totem pole of success. And he also told me a lot of other things, you know. And the, one of the first things he said, third thing he told me was, anybody can quit when things get to going tough. He said, but if you can ride it out, it, things will get better. And I think we turn and run too often now. And while I'm talking, I'm going to get off of here. I think that we have become prisoners to a system of government that keeps us in bondage. And when they do that, we have a tendency to vote for people. But when I say bondage, I mean that the government gives us things. And as long as they give us things, we have a tendency to keep going back and voting for those things. But those things don't necessarily help us get from one level in life to another level in life. It never pays for your kids' education, won't buy a car for you, and they will never give you enough money to own your own home. So we have to get away from that. We have to train our young people to get away from that. Our young people seem to think that they should get some kind of handout, but you shouldn't. You got to work your way up the totem pole of success. And when we learn how to do that, then we can make our own decisions about what we want and the kind of things that we want instead of going for a program that keeps us sort of in bondage like we are right now, a large percentage of our populace.
Brother Joy, you have just said a powerful statement. That was a very powerful, very powerful statement you just made. That was very powerful. I thank you for that. Very powerful statement. Ms. Mangum, name someone who didn't make the headlines but you think should be a part of Black history.
I would say, like in our church, would one of the persons would have been Miss Georgia Betts.
Hmm.
Because she would do anything, if it was the janitor's job to do it. She would pick it up and do. She was just a great person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good access to First Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sister Sherry, who didn't make the headlines but you think should be a part of Black history as well?
Well, I, of course, have to agree with Deacon Taylor, our grandmother, Laura Taylor, and I didn't say her earlier because I knew he would bring her out because she was just that kind of person. She was just that kind of person. She, you know, like he said, she could do her math problems. She taught us about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
She taught us right from wrong. She taught us, she was just a very wise woman, is the best way I could put it. So wise. She taught us so much. And I think a lot of us grandchildren and even some of her children just grabbed onto it. And she's been ingrained in us. And so I wholeheartedly agree that my grandmother was that strong backbone that we needed.
Earlier, you spoke about critical race theory being brought into the public school. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If critical race theory has been omitted from the educational system for all of these years, then that means that our history is wrong. Am I right?
You talking about in particular?
I was talking to Sister Sherry that because she brought that up about the critical race theory being taught in the schools. And I wanted to ask her that if that is the case, if critical race theory has been omitted in the educational system for all these years, that means that the history that we were taught was wrong, because it wasn't the whole story. Am I right?
It was not the whole story. I definitely agree that it was not the whole story. They told us what they wanted us to know, but not necessarily all about, you know, the slavery or the segregation or the Jim Crow era. I don't think they made it a even playing field for both cultures, you know.
Okay. My bro, Jonah, what did you say about that?
I sort of agree with Sherry. We learned something about Black history, but the part that dealt with violence and the parts that were particularly very negative, we didn't learn about it. But I will say, my generation and those up until about 1970. And as Shirley said, some schools taught Black history. We learned quite a bit about it. We knew about the violence. And, you know, for me, I lived through it, too. So I learned a lot on my own. And there are a lot of other people my age and older who also didn't have to get taught that in high school. We lived through it because I've had a door kicked in on me in a store simply because I walked into a bathroom, you know. And so I lived through it. So nobody has to teach it to those my age and a lot of young people younger than me.
Right. I think that is the crux of the matter.
Can I say this? I think when you talk about critical race theory, nobody objects to teaching critical race theory. What people object to is telling white kids that they are oppressors and telling Black kids that they are being oppressed. For me, I don't feel like I was oppressed. I feel like I got a very good education. And when you were talking about Heroes a Minute, we put up a plaque that we dedicated a plaque at my high school Thursday of this past week. And that plaque read, this plaque is dedicated to the principals, teachers, faculty, and staff that worked so hard to make sure we got a decent education. They are my heroes. Those are the people that I call my heroes, the educators that told us to get us where we are now. And but I'm gonna shut down.
Thank you. I wanted you to go there. I'm glad you went there because the answer, whether it is ever taught or not, the answer is that we have to learn it on our own. We can't depend on you. Just like you said, Brother Joe, you can't depend on a system that is keeping you down to teach you something. You can't depend on a system that is holding you down.
Not cutting you off, Rod, but that same system that you vote for that keeps you down will continue to do the same thing. And over years, we don't ever make the right changes because we are voting for a system that we think is helping us, but it's really a system of bondage almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we have to educate ourselves. We have to do for ourselves. We cannot depend on anyone else to do it. We have to learn it ourselves. The church has to be a part of that as well. We need to teach Black history 24/7. We need to tell people about our culture 24/7, regardless of whether it's ever brought in by the government or whatever. We can do that. That answers the question to the success of activism in the Black church. It answers the question of those who are devout in their research and those who are active in the community. That brings about the answer to all of the questions that we talked about tonight. The fact that we have to do it ourselves. We can't wait for anyone else to do it. We have to do it ourselves. And that is what this program has been about. I thank y'all so very much for being on the program tonight. Does anyone have, we got about 4 minutes. Does anyone else have anything that they like to bring up? Anyone else? Open mic.
There is a young lawyer in New York City. She taught school for 24 years, and then she quit and became a lawyer. I just want, if you can Google that speech she made on TV this week, her name is Tricia Lindsay. She is a New York lawyer, and if you Google it, her name, Tricia Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, you can locate her. You know, she's a very, she was in the mold of Martin Luther King. I was standing there walking around in my house saying, amen, hallelujah. And I was just listening to her. I had never heard her in my life. My wife was doing the same thing. We were just so amazed to hear somebody talking like that. But her name is Tricia Lindsay. So if you want to know, Google.
Tricia Lindsay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyone else have anything else they'd like to say?
Hey, Pastor, everyone needs to be reminded that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but principalities. I was just reminded of one of my friends, my line brother actually stays in Georgia. There's pastors down there that do souls to the poll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's to get ourselves, people who look like us to vote. They mm-hmm. tend to do it after services and stuff. But there's legislation. Republicans are down there fighting that, trying to change the rules so you can't vote on the weekends. These are the things mm-hmm. that we're battling against now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a mess.
Well, thank you all so very much for being on tonight. I pray that a lot of people will hear this broadcast long after it's over. You all have made this topical discussion a great discussion. More people need to hear some of the things that have been said here tonight. So I thank all of you so very much. Don't forget, the second Sunday in March, we will be celebrating Family and Friends Day. We're going to have a great time, even if we have to do it online. Amen. Let us pray.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father and our God, we thank you for everyone that has been online tonight. We thank you, God, for all of the interesting conversation that we have had. We thank you, God, for the ideas that we have come up with, the things that we have understood in our lives. We pray, God, to the ancestors, all those names that were called out tonight, those who have gone on before us. We ask that they will watch over us, God, and guide us, God, and give us strength to keep on keeping on. In these dangerous times, Lord, there's a lot of things that are going on that we certainly don't have any input in. But, Father, protect us mm-hmm. as we continue to give your name the praise. We thank you right now, God. We love you with all of our hearts, and we give your name the praise, and we'll tell it everywhere we go that we serve a live and living God. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Y'all
amen.
Have a good night. Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Everyone have a good night.
Everybody, let's go to the country. Out of all the trials and tribulations, and you're still standing, you ought to tell somebody. After all the pain, I never gave up. I never gave in. I can't forgive the faith, and I gotta make it. Jesus. And my heart is fixed. Agree with me, everybody sing with me. I still got it. I still got my joy.